Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Monday Tailgate. I'm your host, Beau Marchant. We're powered by All Access Football on the Fantasy Sports Channel. And remember to check out the NFL Draft Bible. And today we have a great show for you. We have from the NFL Network, Jason Lockenfora. We also have Corey Geiger of the Altoona Mirror, who also has his own radio show on ESPN 1430 in State College. And we're going to be being joined by our college football insider, Justin Van Bulpen. And never last, but never least, my man Rob Brewer, our NFL insider. He always wraps things up for us at the end of the show. But like I said, today, at the top of the show, we're going to have Jason Lockenfora of the NFL Network be joining us. Week two of the NFL, we saw number three USC fall to Washington this past weekend for college's major upset, and that sure shook things up in the polls. It seemed like USC probably a down year, and probably hurts the legitimacy of Ohio State losing to them as well. But I think the only positive lining I'll be touching on base with this with Justin later in the show is with USC losing, at least there's not going to be any quarterback controversy between Aaron Korp and Matt Barkley when he returns from his injury. You could imagine if USC would have rolled Washington 56-0 and Korp would have had a banner day. I think there might have been some questions maybe if Korp might get that job back from Barkley, but as it turned out, it didn't seem the team felt too confident with him, and I think this will be Matt Barkley's job when he returns from his injury. Big news also, I mean, you have what you would consider the USC team of professional football, the New England Patriots, being stunned at New York by the New York Jets. That was a big loss, to say the least. No touchdowns. I think that was the first game the Pats haven't scored a touchdown since 2006. And when you think about something like that, New England, that high-powered offense, I mean, Rex Ryan is the early candidate, obviously, for coach of the year if he continues to swing these type of games in the Jets' favor. I mean, the team believes in him, and I think you kind of went from polar opposites, from Eric Mangini to the fun-loving, energizing style of play that Rex Ryan brings to the table. And I think the guys are feeding off that mentality, and I think you're seeing the results that he's getting out of those guys. And I know it's been talked about earlier, but Darrell Revis has to be the early consideration, not only for defensive MVP within 2 weeks of the NFL, but I think maybe defensive MVP or offensive or league MVP with the way he's playing. I mean, he shuts down Andre Johnson week one. He holds him the four catches. He shuts down Randy Moss yesterday, holding him the four catches. Now, these guys have played two games so far this year, all right? Versus Revis, four catches, 25 yards for Moss, four catches, 35-some yards for Andre Johnson. The week they didn't play against Revis, I think Johnson had 10 catches, 149 against Titans yesterday, and Moss had 12 catches for 141 against the Bills on their Monday night game. So something to think about. I think the Jets are the hot topic of the NFL and their landscape. They're playing incredible football. Sanchez, like I said last week, he was the fourth quarterback since the AFL merger, since that time to win a game on the road as a rookie. And like I said, the Thomas Jones, you have that great offensive line. And like I said, this is becoming another great run, hold this team down, smash mouth defense type of squad. And Rex Ryan has the Jets playing outstanding thus far. And like I said, early on, the Patriots, I mean, they struggled to beat the Bills. They lost yesterday. And I don't know if teams have finally figured out what it takes to get to Brady. But it's evident that they cannot run the football. And I think maybe teams are finally saying, you know what, you're going to have to beat us with the run before you beat us with the pass. Because the Patriots just don't seem to be able to run the ball. I mean, they have that trio of backs between Fred Taylor and Maroney and Sammy Morris and Kevin Falk and Fred Taylor. You know, all those guys combined don't seem to be getting the job done. And I think it's starting to show. I think teams are starting not to respect it. And I think that was a matter of time. I mean, as great as they are at moving the ball through the air, it's, you know, you can only do that so many times before teams catch up and, it becomes something of a problem, and I think it's evident now when you look at the, you know, the New England Patriots. Like I said, that the offense, you know, isn't on one page, and it remains to be seen if they're going to get on the right track. You know, they will. I mean, that's going to happen. But like I said, the Patriots, you know, they've got to be some worries. Like I said, 1-1, and they haven't looked too solid. I mean, basically, without that blown fumble on that return, I mean, the Patriots are looking at an 0-2 start, more or less. Looking, like I said, at the college landscape, we had USC with the big upset by Washington over the weekend. And like I said, that leaves a lot of questions on the college landscape. To me, the college thus far, I mean, I think Florida's lost a lot of guys. I mean, I know the defensive side of the ball is all intact. But offensively, they've lost some guys. I think this is just a down year on the college football side of elite, fierce teams. I mean, I don't think there's one team, you know, that just strikes fear into you. And, I don't think there's that one team out there. I mean, I think it's right now early on, nobody sticks out, at least in my mind, as a clear just, you know, I mean, there's always that team every year that, you know, it's kind of untouchable, you know, unless they really, really get funky somehow and, you know, get upset by a conference team, you know, but I don't think Florida, Texas, you know, Oklahoma. I do like Alabama. I think early on Alabama might be my secret, you know, sleeper to get to that national title game. You know, I think Nick Saban does a nice job. That's a team to look out for. Michigan State lost a heartbreaker to Notre Dame. And like I said, Charlie Weiss lives to play another day, I should guess. And you're listening with Bill Marchant. This is the Monday Tailgate powered by All Access Football. And we're looking for Jason Locken for the call-in for the show today on the NFL Network. And we're also going to have Corey Geiger of the ESPN 1430 at State College. He also is a writer for the Altoona Mirror. He's going to be touching base on this weekend's game between Penn State and Iowa. I mean, we're all familiar with last year's results, the 24-23 you know, 31-yard field goal with no time left on the clock, and Iowa knocks Penn State out of title contention. And like I said, the Nittany Lions are 1-6 since 2000 versus Iowa. So I think Iowa definitely has their number in recent years, and we're going to have Corey break that down and tell us what he thinks and why and what will it take for Penn State to get over the hump against Iowa as they host him this weekend in Happy Valley Beaver Stadium, State College, a beautiful place, mind you, to see a college football game. And like I said, as we search for these guys to call in week two, I think some of the things you almost, you know, you should take notice of, and I think we have our caller calling in now. Jason, that you?
Yes.
Yes, and we're joined here with Jason Locken for the NFL Network. How you doing today, Jason?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great. Just touching base, I think the hot topic after week two is how Rex Ryan has the New York Jets playing, you know, some real fearsome defense, and they take down the New England Patriots. Your thoughts on what Rex Ryan is doing there in New York?
Well, he's doing essentially what he had done in Baltimore, which is blitz the heck out of people, bring pressure from all over, disguise it whenever possible, but completely sell out to attack the quarterback at other times, and they've overwhelmed two straight opponents in that regard by doing that. It helps when you've got guys in the back end like Kerry Rhodes and Darrell Revis who can make plays and can do some things sometimes manned up because they're not going to always get the support from linebackers and other people in coverage because so many people are being used to attack the quarterback. But this is who Rex Ryan is. It's what he believes in. It's never going to change. And it's been very effective thus far, as it was when he was with the Baltimore Ravens.
And on the flip side, you look at a team like New England, who very easily could have been 0-2 without that fumble on Monday, last Monday night. I mean, looking at the Pats and dissecting them, what's missing? I mean, what's missing from that team where they're not getting the ball into the end zone?
Well, you know, you look at all the sort of individual pieces there, and you think that should be better, and I certainly thought that adding a goat and Galloway and Fred Taylor would help. Not having Wes Welker was a big loss, especially against a team that blitzes as much as the Jets do, because he's a guy who really is Brady's first look. When things break down, all those quick little slants underneath things that keep the chains moving, they didn't have that. But their offensive line does not look very good right now, and Brady's not quite himself. And when you force him to move off the spot and be a little more mobile than he'd like to and get him out of his rhythm, you can have some success. And that was obviously the game plan for the Jets, and it worked. And unless they protect him a little bit better and find a way to establish a semblance of a running game as well, because throwing 100 times through two games is probably the best approach to take, a quarterback coming up. They need to establish an offensive identity and sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you agree, Jason. I mean, they can't run the ball. I mean, have teams finally kind of identified that the Patriots really can't move the ball on the ground? So, I mean, you know, why not play to the strength and, you know, go after Brady, you know, like wildfire?
Yeah, I mean, I it's a copycat league, and that's going to continue to be the approach for sure. You know, that's a team that wants to use the pass to sort of set up the run in a lot of ways. You know, we've seen over the last couple of years when Brady was at the helm, and sort of the way Andy Reid does at times. But if you're not killing them softly with those, you know, 7, 8, 10-yard pickups, boom, 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 and you're not able to get in that rhythm, and you disrupt it with the blitz, and a lot of these teams, I mean, it doesn't matter. You can call it a run blitz. You can call it a pass blitz. If you're blitzing in every down and situation, then it's essentially both. It creates problems. And, you know, they are a little bit unsettled. I mean, they got a bunch of numbers in terms of running back, but they don't really have a featured guy per se. And, again, with me, it all comes back to the offensive line. And if they're not drive blocking and they're not protecting as well as you would hope, then you're in trouble, just like any team would be in trouble. And that's an offensive line that got by for years with guys who maybe weren't household names but got the job done, but they certainly seem vulnerable so far this season.
And we're with Jason Lockham for the NFL Network. You can see him nightly on the NFL Network bringing us around the league. Jason, I mean, 2 weeks into the NFL season, I mean, what, besides probably the New York Jets, I mean, what are some of the bigger surprises from teams out there that you've kind of taken notice of?
Well, I'm surprised Tennessee's 0-2. I thought they'd easily could be 2-0 and maybe would be 2-0. Finding ways to lose games that they found ways to win a year ago. So that certainly surprised me. I figured we'd have a lot of poor teams, that's kind of how it goes. The bottom third of the league would be bad, but it's pretty awful. You know, Jamarcus Russell could complete 3 passes through 55 minutes and still win a football game because, you know, Kansas City's even more inept. That, you know, Cleveland looks lost. Tampa's going to have trouble. There's a lot of teams at the bottom that I think are going to struggle. I picked New England and the Pack as my Super Bowl pick, and I'm not happy with what I've seen out of either of those teams. So, you know, that's something that I didn't see coming. You know, Aaron Rodgers, again, protection issues there. They haven't gotten into an offensive rhythm. The issues that the Packers' offense faces are quite similar to me to what New England's going through. So that's been a little bit surprising to me. And Josh McDaniels going 2-0. I mean, they haven't had to play an upper echelon team yet, and that's a Denver club that I still think is pretty flawed. But for all they've been through there in Denver with the offseason and Cutler and Shanahan leaving and the Brandon Marshall mess, for them to be 2-0 and playing some stout defense, getting after the quarterback, doing some things we haven't seen from the Broncos in a number of years, if you're a Bronco fan, you got to be pretty happy with that. And I bet all of a sudden Josh McDaniels is a little bit more popular in the you know, Colorado Rocky area than he was 5, 6 weeks ago.
How about touching base on the NFC side of things? I mean, the New Orleans Saints are 2-0. I think, you know, obviously Drew Brees and that team, I mean, they're clicking on all cylinders. I mean, do you think the team like the Saints have the ability to make a Super Bowl run, or is that defense eventually going to cost them?
Well, I think they've got some things going defensively. Phillies, you know, that was going to be a shootout yesterday. There was going to be some points scored. But I think Greg Williams has changed the culture there a little bit. I think as the season goes on, the kid Jenkins, you're going to see him being used in more of a hybrid role. I think Sharper anchors some things on the back end. I like some of the blitz packages that Greg Williams has put in there. So, you know, I think, you know, if Vilma can stay healthy, that's going to be a huge key for them because he's kind of keying things from the linebacker standpoint a little bit. I like their ends. So, I picked them as a team. I picked them as a playoff team and a team that I thought could do some damage once they got in. And I don't see any reason to change that thought process at this point.
And, Justin, before we let you go, I know you're a busy man. Look, on the Michael Crabtree front, I mean, what's the latest you're hearing on that? I mean, is he going to probably go back into the NFL draft, or do you think this is eventually going to get ironed out?
I think it's a little soon to say. I mean, they still have till, you know, we've got till April to worry about whether he's going to be in the draft or not. The key timetable, excuse me, is week 10, and contract that. If he doesn't have a contract by week 10, then he's not playing this year. And then I think you start to truly think maybe he will go back in the draft, because if you can't play this year and you're already at the point of no return in terms of losing that accrued season, losing that year towards free agency, losing the chance to put any real money in your pocket right now, then I think the heels get dug in and you say, well, what's the point? We'll just try our luck with another team next year. But things could change. And to me, at some point, he'll come to his senses and take $16 million guaranteed right now. But I'm not his agent. I don't, I'm not advising him. And strange things happen sometimes, so stay tuned.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing I think that shocks most of us, if it's the money, I think it's very evident that he's not going to be getting that type of money come next year at this time. Is that correct? I mean, I don't think he's.
Yeah, he may be the fourth. He may be the fourth wide receiver picked, 7 months from now. It's awful early to have to say. But I agree, there's certainly no guarantees. There's no guarantee who's going to take him or where he'll be taken. And trust me, if a team like New England takes him 25th overall, he's not getting anywhere close to $16 million guaranteed. So if a team finds value in him as a late first-round pick or maybe even an early second-round pick, who knows, he will have blown a lot of money.
Excellent. Well, Jason, Jason Lockham for the NFL Network. Jason, I appreciate you coming on the show. I know everybody enjoys the insight that you bring about the NFL. And your take who on tonight's winner, Colts, Dolphins?
I guess I'll take the Colts somewhat begrudgingly. But I think it's going to be a tight game, and I think Miami is going to find a way to get after the quarterback a little bit and maybe make Peyton get off the spot and do some things that have been plaguing Tom Brady, in which case you can equalize the game. You can make it more of a level playing field, and maybe some of the talent imbalance goes away when you're making that quarterback be half as effective as he'd like to be.
Excellent. Jason, have a great day, man. We'll be talking to you soon.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yep, okay. Thank you. And that was Jason Lockefort of the NFL Network joining us here on the Monday Tailgate, powered by All Access Football, Fantasy Sports Channel. And right now I think we're going to be joined with Corey Geiger, 1430 ESPN Radio and State College, also a writer for the Altoona Mirror. Corey, how are you doing today?
Doing very well. How are you guys?
We're great. Corey, obviously a big weekend for Penn State this weekend. They have Iowa coming into town. They had some recent struggles. And touching base with you quickly over the weekend while you were covering the game, your thoughts on Penn State and how good this team is, if you could rank them nationally yourself, what do you think they fall into the mix with these top five teams?
I don't think they're one of the four or five best teams in the country at this point. I would say somewhere in the maybe 10 to 12 range. But frankly, does anybody know who the top five teams in the country are right now? Florida was such a consensus choice. What do they do? They go out and struggle against Tennessee, a team they're favored to beat by 30. Florida certainly didn't look like the number one team in the country. Alabama last week was up 20-14 in the third quarter against Florida International. You wouldn't expect that from a top five team in the country. USC didn't play well in either of its games, and it's already got a loss, over the weekend to Washington. So I don't really know that we know who the five best teams are in the country right now. But to be honest with you, Texas struggled against Texas Tech, and the Red Raiders have a lot of personnel losses. So if I had to pinpoint Penn State where they belong right now, I would say somewhere 10th or 12th in the country, but at the same time, people may think this sounds crazy. The Nittany Lions could probably beat any team in the country on a given day.
Excellent. And, I mean, looking at this team, Iowa, I mean, we talked about their recent struggles, 1-6 since 2000 versus this team. I mean, you're keeping up on Penn State football. You know the whereabouts and what's going on there. I mean, why does Iowa kind of seem to have Penn State's number in the recent season?
Well, the main point to keep in mind about that 1-6 record is Penn State was pretty bad at the early part of this decade. Then Iowa rolled off the schedule. They didn't play them for a few years. And then Penn State, Iowa came back on the schedule. And, you know, since Penn State's resurgence in 2006, they are 1-1 against the Hawkeyes, lost last year. Some of those wins that the Hawkeyes got were earlier this decade. Penn State was really bad in 2003, 2004, and was struggling a couple years before that. So, you know, it's not like Iowa's coming in here and dominating Penn State every year. That said, last year's loss was just huge for Penn State. They were ranked third in the country. They were 9-0. They have a 9-point lead in the fourth quarter on Sean Green and Ricky Stanzi. And basically the defense blew it. The defense just absolutely gave that game away in the fourth quarter. The Hawkeyes scored 10 points. If Penn State wins that game, they run the table during the regular season. There would have been a discussion over whether an undefeated Penn State team from a weak Big Ten conference or a one-loss Oklahoma team would have played Florida in the national championship game. I, for one, think an undefeated Penn State team would have gotten in there. But, you know, there would have been a debate. But Iowa scores 10 points in the fourth quarter, shocks the Lions on a last-second field goal, and basically Penn State's defense, which has been so good for so long, gave that game away. They could not get off the field, and Iowa just marched down the field.
And, Corey, what are you hearing about the health of Sean Lee and Navarro Bowman? I mean, are those guys going to be ready to go this Saturday?
Bowman, I would think, would be able to go. He's missed a couple of games with a sore groin. I would think he would be okay. Sean Lee, to be honest with you, we have to find out. One thing about, and Penn State isn't alone in this, a lot of colleges don't always let on with exactly how tough some injuries were. I'm hearing some news today that I really can't get into too much because a lot of it is unconfirmed. But I will say this, there's a possibility that Sean Lee, they were saying lower left leg cramps on Saturday. There's a possibility it could be a lot worse than that. And until some things are confirmed, I can't really discuss too much. But Sean Lee missed all of last year with a knee injury. And I will say that he did have ice on his knee after Saturday's game. So I don't think it was just leg cramps.
So, I mean, Sean Lee, if he isn't ready to go this Saturday, I mean, does that pose a problem for Penn State, or is that something they should be able to get by on?
Well, Penn State's linebacker, they have terrific depth at linebacker, but Sean Lee is, you know, he's the named defensive player of the week in the Big Ten this week. They're not going to be able to overcome the loss of Lee for the whole season. Against Iowa, I think they can. I don't think Iowa's really all that good. They struggled with Northern Iowa, you know, haven't looked particularly good. They did beat Arizona. But if Sean Lee can't go, they'll have relatively capable replacements, but you're not going to find another Sean Lee. This guy's a second- or third-team All-American.
Excellent. And we're speaking with Corey Geiger, again, of the Altoona Mirror, and also the radio host of ESPN 1430 in State College. Corey, I mean, looking at PSU's schedule, I mean, you got Iowa, obviously you got Michigan, Ohio State at home. When you look at the schedule yourself, I mean, is there one game that, you know, I mean, probably Ohio State probably is the standout, but is there some other game that you kind of look at that schedule and you get nervous when you see it?
Pretty much everybody here in Pennsylvania looked at next week's game at Illinois as the dangerous game for this reason. Juice Williams, when he gets hot, he can throw the ball. Penn State has a susceptible secondary with four new starters. So most people looked at next week's game against Illinois as a game that Penn State could lose. But frankly, Illinois just isn't very good. And so, yes, they are dangerous, and they might be able to come out and pull something out of their hat. But frankly, I think Ron Zook is such a bad game day coach, and Juice Williams is just as likely to go out and throw four or five interceptions as he is to throw for 300 yards. You know, so again, that is a dangerous game. But, you know, the way Illinois has looked so far, it's kind of become a little less dangerous. Frankly, that a trip to Michigan, to the Big House. Most Penn State people thought that would be an easier trip, but you look at what Rich Rodriguez has done in 2 years there now, so That could be a pretty tough game going out to the Big House. Other than that, you know, the only other game that really stands out is Ohio State. That game is at Beaver Stadium, and it'll be a tremendous atmosphere. Penn State usually doesn't lose those kinds of games, so, you know, is this a great Penn State team? No, by no stretch of the imagination. But the schedule is pretty weak, and so, you know, they will have a chance to run the table.
And, I mean, talking about maybe a weak schedule, and I think the Big Ten, I mean, I think it's agreed that, you know, obviously, you know, they're down, you know, probably nationally not a lot of respect, I think due to probably some of the lack of success by Ohio State. I mean, when you look at the Big Ten, Ohio State, those teams that are struggling to, you know, win those big games, I mean, how far behind do you think the Big Ten is from, you know, getting back right into the, with the SECs and the Big 12?
I don't think it's really that far. Remember, it was just 3 years ago that Ohio State was number one, Michigan was number two. They played in the last regular season game. Troy Smith beat the Wolverines 41-38, and a lot of people wanted to see a rematch in the national championship game. Well, that was 3 years ago, so we're not talking 15 years ago. We're not talking that the Big Ten is losing to MAC schools every week. You know, Minnesota gave California a pretty good game, and Minnesota is a middle-of-the-pack team in the Big Ten, while Cal is a top-10 team. So, you know, the Big Ten, yes. Is it the number one or two conference in the country right now? No. It's probably fourth or fifth. But the big problem for the conference is getting embarrassed on the national stage, like Ohio State was in the back-to-back national title games, you know, like Penn State got in the Rose Bowl last year against USC. Yeah, are the teams in the Big Ten as good as the top three or four teams in the country? Probably not, but, you know, nobody should write off the Big Ten thinking it's a weak conference, because the top teams in the Big Ten are still right around the top six, seven, eight teams in the country.
Excellent. And, Corey, like I've been telling people, they can read your stuff on the Altoona Mirror, and they can also listen to your show. I think you said your show is at 4 o'clock on ESPN 1430 at State College. Is that correct?
That is correct. 4 to 6 every day. We got a lot of football here. The Steelers lost yesterday. The Eagles got spanked. So this is a tough day for the football fans in Pennsylvania.
So you guys cover the whole wide range of pro and college? I mean, obviously the whole spectrum of it?
We do. We're the only local daily talk show in central Pennsylvania for a, you know, probably a couple hundred mile radius. So we're Steelers country primarily, but we're also very much into Philadelphia Eagles country. So we spend a good bit of our time on the show talking Penn State and Steelers, but we also focus on the Eagles and even Pitt football, because we have a good number of Pitt alumni in our area. So it's a fun show. We break down an awful lot of football stuff. Penguins are right around the corner, and unfortunately we've got the Pirates too, so we have to talk about them.
You have to talk about it, but I don't think there's too many callers calling in for a Pirates baseball.
You would be shocked. I can bring up football topics, and the Pirates are 30 games below 500. There is so much passion in this part of the people may look at it and laugh, but there is so much passion for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Everybody knows how bad they are, and everybody calls into my show and complains, but – you know, people are still it's unbelievable, really. As bad as that team is, I was just at a game yesterday. PNC Park is an absolutely gorgeous facility. The people of Pittsburgh cannot wait for that team to turn things around. Unfortunately, it may not happen in any of our lifetimes.
I can't remember that team being good since Bobby Bonilla and Barry Bonds and, you know, those guys were playing. I mean, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, long time, 17 straight losing seasons. But again, you know, even during the middle of football season, I can go on the show any day and we'll still get a good number of people who want to talk baseball. It's amazing.
Excellent. You know, and Corey, now I'm not, you know, I'm from the Ohio area, but I mean, is it Philadelphia is about an hour away from State College, isn't it about that?
Probably a little further. Philly's probably about maybe 2:15, and Pittsburgh,
oh, okay,
you know, is a couple hours the other way. So State College is pretty much – State College and Altoona are right in the middle of both. Pretty heavy Steelers territory here, but still a lot of Eagles fans as well. The Eagles just looked horrible yesterday.
Yeah, they struggled, and the Saints looked pretty tough. On the other hand, Drew Brees looks like, you know, that team's definitely clicking on all cylinders. And, well, Corey, your thoughts on this weekend's game? I mean, I think Penn State's number one with defensive points allowed. I think 20, Iowa 36. I mean, any predictions on this weekend's game before I let you go?
I'll go with Penn State, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 27 to 13. I think Penn State's offense will be good enough. That defense, even without Sean Lee, is still pretty good. I'll revise that a little bit. I'll go 27 to 16. I think Iowa will move the ball a little bit, but you know, Penn State's offense should be pretty good. So 27-16.
Actually, you know what? And I almost forgot, Corey, because I know you're a, you know, I know you're an insider, and like I said, I was impressed the way that you were you know, shooting those questions to those guys this past weekend at the game. 2 weeks or 3 weeks into the Penn State season, I mean, who's some of the guys that, you know, are going to step up throughout the year that we might not have taken notice of prior to this year? Who are just the guy off the top of your head?
Well, one guy is a receiver, Graham Zug. He leads the team in catches, but he left Saturday's game with what probably was a concussion, so we have to wait and find out about him. Another guy that will probably have a little bit of an impact is about a 5'6" freshman named Davon Smith. He looks like a little kid out there. They list him at 5'7", which he is not. He's probably 5'5", 5'6", but he runs a 4.3 40. He'll be given some opportunities to make some plays on some returns and stuff like that. But, you know, no superstars on this team. It's pretty much just a workman-like team. You know, this is Darrell Clark's team without question, the quarterback. If Darrell Clark gets hurt, you could be talking about a 7-5 football team, so because their backup quarterback is a true freshman. So Darrell Clark is clearly the guy. That offensive line has got to keep him healthy for Penn State to have any level of success.
Excellent. And this is Corey Geiger of 1430 ESPN Radio, State College, also a writer for the Altoona Mirror. Corey, thanks for joining us today, and like I said, you're welcome to come on and talk Penn State football anytime.
Anytime you want me, pal. I'm here. Thanks so much for the time.
Yep, thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks.
And that was Corey Geiger of ESPN 1430 State College. And now we're joined with Justin Van Fulpen, our college football insider. Justin, how you doing today?
Good. What's going on, man?
Nothing, dude. Just another Monday of Monday Tailgate here on All Access Football, powered by, you know, we're ready to roll. Just talking with a guy who covers PSU, we're talking about the Nittany Lions versus Iowa Hawkeyes this weekend. He was giving a take of about a 27-16 final. Justin, your thoughts on, you know, this game and the type of, you know, season the Big Ten. I think the Big Ten are kind of surprising people. I think Michigan's given the, you know, the Big Ten some life, them kind of turning things around. And your thoughts on that? Justin?
Oh, okay. I lost you there for a second. I lost you there, so I didn't hear what your question was, so my bad.
I was just asking, and we just had Corey Geiger, a Penn State guy who covers Penn State, and we were just talking the 27-16 final he was given for the Penn State-Iowa game. And your thoughts on the Big Ten thus far? I think, you know, Michigan's kind of surprising. You know, Penn State, if things fall right for them, they do have a schedule that, you know, coincides with the trip that, you know, could be undefeated. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think the Big Ten is a little down. You know, I mean, a lot of people thought that coming into the season. But, you know, Michigan's been a surprise. And, yes, they've only really had one really true win, and that's, you know, against Notre Dame. You know, Michigan State, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, had the loss against Central. So, you know, Ohio State didn't show, you know, kept it in there with USC, but ended up losing to USC. And now we saw USC lost to Washington. So how good is that USC team, you know, and then how good is Ohio State? Penn State, you know, looks to me like the cream of the crop of that that conference and really, you know, has got a shot to get to the Rose Bowl. I don't think any Big Ten team really challenged for a national title like Ohio State's done in the past. And you know, Penn State was in the running until right the end last year. You know, I don't think that'll be the case this year. But maybe on an overall stance, maybe the Big Ten is moving up the charts and trying to catch the Big 12, the SEC, there as, you know, one of the top conferences in college football.
And, Justin, I know, I mean, obviously the big story of this weekend with the college game was number 3 USC being taken down by Washington. Well, I think we both agree this isn't one of the top USC teams in recent years by any stretch of the imagination. But, I mean, Pete Carroll, I mean, I don't know if there's a better big game coach than Pete Carroll, but is there maybe like a – could he be the worst of the small game coaches out there? I mean, it seems like they always bungle one of these games up, and like Washington, just another perfect example of it.
Yeah, because last year, I mean, they got beat by Oregon State on a Thursday night game, you know, as far as it always seems like one of these, you know, lower tier Pac-10 teams get them, you know, 2 years ago with Stanford. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely they seem to be able to get up for the big games, but when it comes to the, you know, games that they should beat, you know, those are the ones that they, you know, seem to lose. So they've got to do something, you know, because, you know, if Texas and Florida keep rolling like they have here, you know, recently, those two will be playing for the national title, and USC again will be, you know, out of the running.
And I mean, and I know you cover this. I know you're breaking down. I know when we used to, breaking down the top 10 senior prospects of the draft, and we were going kind of through the talent evaluation of each conference. I mean, the Pac-10 really isn't that strong of a conference for USC to be losing to one of the, like a Washington. I mean, that really is a substantial loss, I mean, in terms of how good Washington is in the Pac-10, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to, put any, first-round draft picks this next in April's draft. And USC obviously has got your boy Taylor Mays and a number of other, players, your offensive tackle. There's a lot of talent there at USC. But as far as the rest of the Pac-10, is down, and it's been down for the last couple of years, Cal's coming up, and Cal's got some talent there. But Oregon, I mean, they've got some talent. They've always had some talent. But as far as when we're talking about top to bottom, as far as when we're talking about next level type talent, the Pac-10 is probably the fourth or fifth conference when overall.
And Florida, Tennessee, there was a lot of hype this past weekend between Lane Kiffin and his comments. I think Tennessee, I think surprised. I mean, they were almost four touchdown, underdogs against Florida. Your thoughts on how long it's going to take, Lane Kiffin to turn this Tennessee program around?
I think next year. I mean, he'll give a whole year of recruiting. He's a guy who I think with his dad, Monty Kiffin, and his experience there in the NFL, I think kids will want to come play, for him, knowing that they'll have a shot to get to the next level. And, as far as in the experience and the context that both him and his dad have there in the NFL for the years that they've spent there. So I think, next year we could be looking at a team that, really is on the rise. Florida is going to be good, but obviously Tim Tebow will be gone. And, they've, rode him for the last 4 years to, possibly three national titles and maybe even he'll win two Heismans. So, once you get Tebow gone and Florida kind of comes back a little bit to the pack, Tennessee can make a strong run of getting back to where they've always been there in the SEC. And that's always fighting for that conference title.
And, 3 weeks in, Justin, looking at this college season so far, thus far, any surprises? One way or the other, a team that you thought might be a little better or a team that you thought might be, better that's worse?
Well, obviously, Michigan's, I think, was a big surprise. Nobody thought that Tate Forcier was going to be the type of player he's turned out to be. True, they played two MAC schools, but they had a big win against Notre Dame, and they really dominated the two MAC schools, Western and Eastern. And, a lot of people thought that definitely Western was going to be able to hang with them. We'll see, this week they get into their Big Ten schedule there against Indiana, and then, have to play Michigan State, Definitely, that's the team that I thought it was better. Obviously, Oklahoma with the loss of, Sam Bradford and Jermaine Grisham, then lose to BYU. That's a team I thought would have competed for the, national title there. And as well as their in-state rivals, Oklahoma State, with Dez Bryant and Zach Robinson, as far as that combo. Losing the game that they lost in the second week of the season that took them out of the national title after they had beaten Georgia is really another disappointing that I thought. And I think overall the Big 12 is not as strong as it's been the last couple of years. Texas Tech isn't, nearly the team that they were last year without Graham Harrell and Crabtree. So I think, the definitely, Texas is that cream of the crop there. And I don't see them, getting beat, and possibly, playing Florida in the national title.
Excellent. And, I mean, speaking of Oklahoma, they have Miami on October 3rd. I think Miami's another nice surprise team out there. Jacory Harris has really thrown the ball well for them. When you look at that team and that matchup, I mean, do you think Bradford will be back for that game? And even if he isn't, do you think Oklahoma's an overwhelming favorite there?
Well, definitely they're not going to be a favorite. I mean, I think, you know, Miami probably is going to be the favorite in that game, you know, being in the top 10. And like you said, I mean, that was one team I definitely overlooked, and they're definitely a surprise team there. And, you know, he could be back, but I don't think he will be back. I think they'll want to, you know, try to, you know, save him, you know, because I think really what they're looking at is saying, hey, you know, we're probably not going to be able to compete for a national title this year. You know, they've done it in the past, but without Sam Bradford being healthy, I don't see them beating Miami. And, you know, and hopefully Sam Bradford's able to come back, you know, healthy fully for the rest of this season and then going into his senior season.
Excellent. And how about the absence of Malcolm Floyd, Notre Dame receiver, the broken collarbone? How much of an impact is that going to have on Notre Dame?
I think it's going to be a bigger impact than what people think. I mean, this guy was a tremendous talent and kind of really moving up the ranks as a guy, to, you know, to really to watch for regards to NFL talent. I mean, he's a guy that really, you know, it was becoming a dominant receiver there for Notre Dame. So the loss of him is going to be a big loss there. You know, they've got some other younger receivers, and Jimmy Clausen's played well over these last couple of weeks, even though they lost to Michigan. You know, he's really kind of lived up to the hype he had, you know, coming into Notre Dame 3 years ago. And so I think he'll do okay, and as far as their running game has really come on. Golden Tate still is not a bad receiver, and I really like their tight end, their Kyle Randolph, or Rudolph, as a guy who I really think could be a potential, you know, prospect for the NFL. And I think down the road he's going to be a guy that's going to surprise people just with his athleticism and his be able to, you know, catch the football, you know, a la a, you know, Antonio Gates, Kellen Winslow, Dallas Clark, those type of guys who are those flex, you know, tight ends. And he's a guy who I really like as a guy down the road of being a potential first-round talent tight end.
And we're talking with Justin Van Vulpen, our college football insider, here on the Monday Tailgate, powered by All Access Football on the Fantasy Sports Channel. And make sure you check out the NFL Draft Bible. Justin, I know Justin has a ton of stuff he puts up there weekly, a ton of great content. What are you working on right now, Justin? What's the next project that we're going to find on the NFL Draft Bible?
Well, we just got done as far as breaking down the top 10 senior offensive tackles, and definitely as far as a good group of coming there. We're going to finish up this week. We'll have the rest of the interior lines, both the offensive guards and centers, to break those down. And then after this week, we'll get into the defense. And you know, a lot of people are looking for, you know, help on that defensive line, and we'll start with the defensive ends and kind of roll through that. So every week we're breaking down as far as the top 10 position-wise. Also, as far as, you know, definitely we're working on a blog in regards to more information, getting more information about the NFL draft and college football on a weekly basis, so people can kind of check and get more information if they go to NFLDraftBible.com.
And Justin, I mean, I know you're the guy that covers these players, and you're putting the rankings out. I mean, has anybody kind of popped out up there that, you know, these senior prospects or even junior prospects, somebody that kind of wasn't on your radar prior to the season start and now that you've taken notice of?
You know, I think we're a little too, you know, really, I mean, you know, when you kind of want to see that kind of that body of work, I think, you know, we're starting to see who's kind of going to be, you know, be the guys and you know, kind of, I had Ladarius Blount, the running back out of Oregon, is a guy who I was really looking forward to seeing him, what he could do. Obviously, you know, he's no longer the second-rated running back on the board, even though that was preseason-wise. And, you know, the quarterbacks, I've really been impressed with Dan LaFleur. I really thought he's done well and kind of moved up that ranking, that the Central Michigan's quarterback and what he was able to do against, you know, Michigan State. You know, Tim Tebow, I think he's doing better. You know, I mean, a lot of people are saying, hey, he's probably not going to play, you know, quarterback at the next level. And he's shown a little bit better as far as a guy who could translate to that next level of being in that quarterback position. But, you know, we're starting to really get into it, and starting now where we start getting into the conference games and some of these, you know, more lower-level competition, you know, it's kind of getting out the way. I think we'll start to be able to get a real gauge on where we're starting to see guys and where they're going to be placed, you know, in April's draft here as we get into conference play.
Excellent. Well, Justin, as always, I want to thank you for joining us on the Monday Tailgate today, and we'll look forward to touching base next week.
Yeah, we'll appreciate it. We'll talk to you later, man.
Yep, have a great day. And that's Justin Van Poelfen, our college football insider. And like I said, last but never least, the man with the plan, our NFL insider, the man who was on location this weekend for the New York Jets home win versus the New England Patriots, Rob Brewer. Rob, how you doing, my man?
Doing good. That was some game. The crowd was really into it, and everybody was making a big deal about the voice message that Rex Ryan gave to all the season ticket holders, and they really came through. It was just jumping.
Yeah, I mean, you were there. I mean, what was the atmosphere? I'm sure you've been to many Jets games. I mean, the atmosphere yesterday compared to others, how was it?
Yeah, I'd say that was the loudest game I ever went to in Giants Stadium, Jets or Giants. And when I was in the press box, I felt my laptop, it was actually vibrating because the 70,000-plus people were just going insane. They haven't seen the Jets knock off the Patriots at home since 2000, and they were definitely waiting for that for a long time, and they finally got it.
And, I mean, you called it last week. You liked the Jets making this upset. You were on the ball with it. I mean, what did you see? I mean, the defense seems to be playing phenomenal. I mean, what does Rex Ryan, you know, I mean, these guys are feeding off of him. I mean, what do you see the biggest change from last season to this season?
Well, definitely it's got to be the swagger, you know. And we didn't see that last year. We saw the boring coach. I alluded to this on my blog. You have the boring Mangini with all his boring Bill Belichick-esque quotes, and that's not going to fire anybody up. That's going to put your players to sleep. And that's exactly what happened last year. So this year it's a new attitude. It's a fresh start. And they already, you know, I would say they pretty much handled the Texans pretty well in week one. So they carried that momentum over to week two. And I think that's really what it was. It was just swagger and attitude. And oh, by the way, it really helped that Brady had a very bad game. He was off pretty much the whole entire game. And that's what really did the Patriots in as well.
Yeah, I mean, and Darrell Revis, I mean, he shuts down Andre Johnson. Yesterday, shuts down Randy Moss. I mean, this has got to be the early favorite for defensive MVP, if not league MVP, if this continues, right?
Yeah, when you put pressure, and that's the thing, everybody thinks that the secondary is what's really doing it. And Darrell Revis had a great play, don't get me wrong, but when you put constant pressure in these quarterbacks' face, whether it's Tom Brady or Matt Schaub or next week it's going to be Kerry Collins, when these quarterbacks face pressure, it's really hard to get off accurate throws on a regular basis, and that makes the secondary's job that much easier. So as much as you want to talk about the secondary shutting down Randy Moss, most of it has to do with the pass rush that they seem to generate.
And, I mean, the Jets, I mean, are they legit? I mean, they're 2-0. They've had two convincing wins, a game on the road, a game at home against New England. I mean, is this team legit? I mean, it seems legit. I mean, your feelings, your thoughts moving forward?
Well, I was on their bandwagon all along once they got rid of Mangini, and I thought that was a great move. And they seem to – Rex Ryan knows how to put the pieces in place better than their previous coach. So as soon as Rex Ryan was on board and he had that swagger to go with it, not only was he a great defensive mind, he also had the swagger to go with it that he had – from his papa there in Philadelphia, who used to coach Buddy Ryan. So, you know, I thought they were a 10-6 team before the season even started. They may even be better than that.
And, I mean, did you talk to any of the guys yesterday after the game? Did you have any access to them?
Oh, man, that was just packed, you know. I mean, you couldn't even get inside the press room. It was so packed. Rex Ryan was definitely a more personable guy, so everybody wants sound bites on him. But I pretty much got the gist that he said, yeah, we were the better team today. And that's really all there was to it. You know, Brady had his chance in the final quarter, the two-minute drive. I really thought the Jets were in trouble once they couldn't convert that third down, and then Mark Sanchez had to take the sack. I thought they were in definite trouble because Tom Brady seems to thrive in those situations, but he didn't yesterday.
And, I mean, looking at the other NFL teams out there, I mean, we're in the, you know, week two. You had Baltimore going out to San Diego. I thought that was a big win for the Ravens. The Saints, I mean, Drew Brees is putting up crazy numbers with the Saints. I mean, they're just crazy numbers. I mean, looking at the NFL landscape, I mean, some of the teams that are surprising you right now?
Let's see. Some of the teams that are surprising me, you got to go with San Francisco going 2-0. It seems as though they're on pace to do a lot better than they have been in previous years, despite the fact that Michael Crabtree has still not yet signed. They haven't missed a beat at all, so I would say that's definitely a surprise out there in San Francisco.
Excellent. And we're speaking with Rob Brewer, our NFL insider, and you can also catch Rob on Thursdays on Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Sports Channel at 5 o'clock. Rob does his own show, and he's also affiliated with the NFL Draft Bible. Rob, I mean, big weekend. I mean, like you said, you mentioned the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, your thoughts on Eric Mangini and him holding out the quarterback controversy to the last moment, do you think that helped bring the Browns along, his big secrecy?
No.
You're quiet today, man. You're usually all wound up, man.
Well, you know, you ask an obvious question, you get an obvious answer, and the answer is no. He's no good. We saw this for 3 years with the Jets, how bad he is, and it continues in Cleveland. It doesn't matter what colors he wears, what city he's in. He's a bad coach.
And yesterday, Jake Delhomme throws for 308 yards. Any thoughts on Jake?
Wow, you know, I was really ripping him, and now I have to eat some crow. I'm definitely wiping the egg off of my face as we speak because 300-yard performance, very hard to come by, especially when you've thrown 9 interceptions in your last 2 starts. So kudos to him. He's definitely making me look foolish right now.
And you covered the Jets last week. I mean, is we going to find Rob Brewer on location anywhere this upcoming weekend?
Yes, I plan to put in a request for the Jets. I want to go to the Jets-Titans game. That's just a hop, skip, and a jump away. And even though it's Monday, I think I'm going to make my pick right now. I'm going to go ahead and say the Titans win because Jeff Fisher doesn't usually start out 0-3. He's only since he's been coaching full time in 95. That's what his first full season was in 95 with the Titans / Oilers. Since then, he's only started out 0-3 twice. He's very prepared. He's a very prepared coach. I don't see them dropping 3 in a row, especially how well they've played in their 2 losses. And plus, you got to remember the Jets are probably going to have a letdown. They had a huge win yesterday, and they may be in line to lay out a goose egg.
And, I mean, I know you hate talking to AFC West games, but, I mean, what do you make
of it? Yeah, really. Come on. Can we just skip that?
All right. I'll get past it. You know, when you were doing your show Thursday after we talked, I logged into the chat room, and I was actually going to ask some AFC West questions just to, you know, get that fire burning on you, because I know you despise any AFC West football talk.
Oh yeah, that was a classic matchup yesterday, the Chiefs and Raiders. I'm sure all the immediate friends and family of both teams were the only people in attendance for that game.
We're speaking with Rob Brewer, NFL insider. I mean, Rob, I mean, we're 2 weeks in. I mean, what are you making of this NFL season so far? I mean, you got the surprise teams of the 49ers. You have the Jets 2-0. I don't know so much of a surprise of the Ravens being 2-0, but I thought that was a nice win against San Diego. I mean, the Patriots don't look strong at all. I mean, you think this is a team that's actually going to struggle throughout the year, or do you think Belichick's going to get this ship, you know, the ship righted quickly?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to struggle too much because even though Bill Belichick has very little class, and LaDainian Tomlinson got that right on the head a couple years ago, even though he's definitely not one of my favorite coaches, he's good. He's definitely prepared all the time. He's ready. He's got his game plans, even though his interviews are the most boring in the NFL. You know, he still does his thing, and they're a professional team. They're definitely 53 guys, and they're all pros. You know, they're no jokers in this deck. So I don't think they're going to struggle too much. It's definitely a disappointing loss. They probably played one of their worst games in recent memory because Tom Brady, he looked mortal yesterday. He looked like a mere mortal. And I think, though, it may be a blip on the radar screen. I don't think they're going to struggle for too much longer.
And how about the team like the Steelers? I mean, they had the close game against the Titans. They had the close game against the Bears. I mean, is this kind of like the Steelers' style? It seems like they really never clean house on somebody. I mean, all their games seem to be some last-minute field goal or last-minute crazy play. I mean, is this what we should expect from the Steelers throughout the season?
Yeah, pretty much. They don't have an explosive offense that can put up 35 points a week on a consistent basis. They're going to win a lot of low-scoring, you know, 14-13, 13-10, and yesterday was 17-14, the final score, even though they lost. But I would always, if I were a betting man, I would always pick the under whenever Pittsburgh plays.
Rob Brewer giving the insight. And we got the Indianapolis Colts and Miami Dolphins on the docket tonight. What's your early take on tonight's game?
The Colts are going to blow out the Dolphins because that wildcat garbage is not going to work. And we saw late last season that team started to figure it out. And then once they go up against playoff caliber teams like the Ravens, they don't even belong on the same field. And I would expect that trend to continue. They don't have any offensive threats. And that whole wildcat thing, it's all smoke and mirrors. So I would think it's going to be about 35-10 Colts, rather.
And there you got it, Rob Brewer, giving us the 35-10 take on the Colts taking down the Dolphins. You know, you look at that whole AFC East division, I mean, it really looks in flux. I mean, you don't know what to make of it. I mean, the Bills play an outstanding game on Monday night. They almost take the Patriots down. The Jets are standing at 2-0. I agree with you. I think the Dolphins are just – last year was a fluke, and I don't think they're going to come anywhere close to that. But between the Jets – the Bills and the Patriots, I mean, I think obviously, you know, the Bills, you know, putting them third between the three. I mean, you think the Jets are going to be able to outlast the Patriots looking down the road for the AFC East title?
I'm going to still stick with my original pick that the Patriots win that division and that the Jets are a wild card. I can't flip-flop like that. You know, like every other week is a different – development, and you're like, oh, wow, maybe this is going to happen. Well, I this is what I picked, and this is what I'm going to stick to until this pick is 100% not going to happen. So I'm going to have to say the Patriots figure it out. They win that division, and the Jets go 10-6, and they still make the playoffs, but they don't win that division.
And real quick, Rob, before we let you go on the Monday tailgate today, looking at Mark Sanchez's second game, your thoughts on how he played, how he performed? And I thought he was really going to struggle. I thought Belichick was going to have some game plan to, you know, to make him look like a goofball, but obviously that wasn't the case. Give us your thoughts on how Sanchez looked yesterday.
He looked a little shaky in the first half, and that's to be expected because the scheme that Belichick runs, it's really confusing for me, and of course it's confusing for a rookie quarterback. You're just looking in the press box, when you have the all-22 view, you have defensive linemen dropping back into coverage. You have safeties playing mind games at the line of scrimmage. You really have no idea what kind of defense you're in store for once the ball is snapped. So I'm assuming that confused Mark Sanchez. He only had 15 yards in the first half passing, so... But the thing was, even though he struggled, he didn't make the huge mistake. He didn't throw any interceptions. He had that one fumble, but it was recovered by the Jets, so that didn't hurt him. So even though he really was off balance in the first half, he didn't lose the game. And in the second half, that's when he got his composure back. That's when he got on a roll. They had 10 unanswered points at one time, and I thought he weathered the storm as well as you could for a first-year player.
Excellent. And we're talking with Rob Brewer. Some of you guys might know him as Football Rob, host of the Thursday show. I think, what, 8 Men in the Box, right?
Yeah, 8 Men in the Box, 5 o'clock on Thursdays.
And you can check that out on the Fantasy Sports Channel on Blog Talk. Rob, as always, I love having you on. I love talking with you, shooting the breeze about the NFL each week. Have a great week, and hope to touch base next week, my man.
You got it.
Take care, Rob. And that was Rob Brewer, our NFL insider. I'm your host, Omar Shaw, and thanks for joining us here on the Monday Tailgate.